And we have been in a series called The Songs of Christmas. This is our third week. And we have looked at different songs that people sang, or different psalms that people spoke at the very first Christmas. And we looked at Mary's song, and last week we looked at Zacharias' song, but we started with this statement: to bless God means to recognize his great richness, his strength, and gracious bounty, and to express our gratitude and delight in seeing and experiencing that. And that's what Zacharias did. Like Zacharias, are you blessing God, thanking him, expressing gratitude for what he did at Christmas? God visited us at Christmas, not to hang out, not to relax, but for a purpose, to release us from the bondage of sin. He sent a powerful Savior, and Zacharias described him as a horn of salvation, one that is able to accomplish the goal of delivering his people, one that no one and nothing could stop, the one that God sent. We also saw that Zacharias recognized the prophecies that the Messiah and his son, John the Baptist, would fulfill. How thankful are you that God has visited us at the very first Christmas? He could not be stopped, and he fulfilled over 300 prophecies with his birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection, and he will fulfill more in the end of his plan. Are you celebrating and thanking God not only that he kept his word, but he continues to keep his word, and that he still shows you mercy and grace today? He gives you life, breath, health. He gave you his word that you hold in front of you, and he has given you his son. God delivered us for a reason, not to put on a shelf, but to be useful, a valuable tool and a valuable instrument in his hands. To be useful, is that describe you? Are you useful? Are you dedicated to God, set apart to him and for him? Are you serving him, and are you serving those his son died for? God sent one final prophet. That would be Zacharias and Elizabeth's son. The goal of this prophet was one simple thing: to point to Jesus. Make it clear, this is the Messiah. This is who he is. The one born in the manger, that's the Messiah. That's Jesus. Are you not only thankful, have you responded to the message? Have you made a decision about who the Messiah is and what he came to do? Why he came to earth to be born as a baby? With the coming of the Messiah, God made a new covenant. And Zacharias describes it like the dawning of a new day, because it is open to all. Just like sunlight is given to everyone, the covenant is given to everyone. He came to be a sacrifice, a permanent, complete, and total sacrifice for the remission of your sins and my sins. With one sacrifice, the new covenant was established, and it took care of sin forever. He also came to bring peace. Are you thankful that God came at Christmas time, that he made a new covenant, he took care of your sin, and you have peace with God, permanent peace? Have you made a choice? Have you taken part in this new covenant? Is God your father, your friend? Are you at peace with him, or is he still your enemy? How did it go last week in light of Zacharias' song? Did you bless God? What did you bless God for? How is your Christmas different? How is it going to be different this year because of Zacharias' song and because of the motivation he gives us for thanking and blessing God? So that caught you up on Zacharias' song from last week. Our song this morning is probably one of the most well-known songs of Christmas. And the context is well-known as well-known. But I want to make sure we're on the same page. We don't miss anything. So chapter 1 of Luke and chapter 1 of Matthew has told us that God has sent an angel not just to tell Elizabeth and Zacharias they're going to have a baby, but Mary, a virgin who is betrothed to Joseph. She is now pregnant by the miraculous working of God. Joseph finds out, but Joseph is told she has not been unfaithful. She has been your wife or your fiance. She has not been unfaithful. God has done a miraculous work in her. He chooses to marry her anyway. And Matthew tells us that he does not know her. He does not know her physically until after the child is born. It is not his child. It is God's son. But if you're not there, we're going to be in Luke And you can listen as I read the first few verses as we talk about the context of what happens next. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." As I said, this song, what precedes it, is very familiar to you and to many people, even if they don't consider themselves Christian or even religious. So much so that December 9th, 1965, this happened.
"And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
The story doesn't end there. It goes on to say that as the angel was there, it says verse 15, Linus read for us, or quoted for us, 8 through 14 of Luke chapter 2, verse 15 says, "So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told to them." So we have looked at the songs of Mary and Zechariah so far this year. But as we just saw, people were not the only ones who sang at Christmas. The angels did as well. So this morning we're going to look at the angel song, but we're going to ask and answer 4 questions about the angel song. So that's what we're going to spend our time with this morning, the song of the angels to the shepherd. Before we go any farther, let's pray and ask God as we open his word. Father, we thank you for this song, which is actually your song from the angels. It is praising you. It is about you. It is about your son. Lord, as we hear it, it's so familiar. Lord, help us not to lose sight of the impact, lose sight of the importance, because it is so familiar. Many of us read this song on Christmas morning as part of our tradition. Lord, help us to see it with new eyes. Help us to see it in a fresh way. Help us to respond to what we hear. Lord, use me this morning. May I be clear in my communication. May you be heard through me. May I not be a distraction, but that a tool useful to you. We ask that the technology would be effective as well for those that are joining us online, either live or in person or at a later date, that your truth would be heard through the technology, that it would not be a distraction. Most of all, Lord, as we hear your word, may you be pleased with our response to it. That is your expectation, that we hear and obey, and may you be pleased with our response and our obedience. We thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. So 4 questions about the angel's song. The first question this morning is, who heard it first? Who heard it first? Luke chapter 2, verse 8. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." Shepherds, normal, everyday people, average people. Today we might say blue-collar people. People who work for a living. For those of you that do that, you may look down on those who don't work for a living, who aren't blue collar. Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but Jesus' birth was announced first to everyday people. The angels didn't sing to people that would have been considered important. Priests or Levites, religious leaders, rulers, governors, Roman officials, kings or princes. They sang to normal, everyday people, regular people, like you and like me. But these shepherds weren't just normal, everyday people. The shepherds in that context were considered to be outcasts. They were social outcasts of the day. They smelled like sheep all the time. They were looked down on. They were despised. They were considered dishonest, unreliable, to the point where they weren't allowed to legally testify in a court of law. Religiously, they were considered unclean because they couldn't keep the rules of the Sabbath and of the law. They were unclean. They were outcasts. Why did the angels come to these men first, singing to the shepherds? Why normal, everyday people? Why outcasts and rejects? Because that's who Jesus came for. Listen to how Paul describes us, who God has chosen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many are wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. The angels sang first to the shepherds, because that's who Jesus came to save. Normal, everyday people. Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost, those who are outcasts, those who are rejects. Jesus came to save us. The angels sang to the kind of people Jesus came to save. They sang to him then first. The next question is, who was the message for? Who was the message for? It was given first to the shepherds, but who was it for? Verse 10 of chapter 2 of Luke. The angel said to them, the shepherds, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. All people. All people. The song, its message, the information contained in it wasn't just for the shepherds. It wasn't private. It wasn't just for those few select people that heard it first. They were just the ones chosen to hear it first. It was for everyone. It was for everyone. The angel's message is for you and I today as much as it was for the shepherds and those that heard it first. The angel's message is for you and I today as much as it was for those people who heard it first. The angel's message is for everyone. It was not given to just some to hold on to and keep it private. Not just a special group, a privileged group. It is for everyone. The good tidings of great joy are to all people, everyone. That includes you. And that includes me. The angel sang first to the people God came to save, the kind of people he came to save. The message was for everyone. The third question is, what was the song about? What was the song about? The first thing the song is about is, even before they start to sing, verse 10, the angel said to them, do not be afraid. The song was not to inspire fear. They were not to be afraid. The immediate context here is the fact that the shepherds were startled in the middle of the night by a sudden appearance of a very bright light and a guy they didn't know, or a person they didn't know. They were shocked. But if this message is for everyone, what does it mean for us when it says, do not be afraid or do not fear? We shouldn't be afraid because Jesus came in the flesh. We shouldn't be afraid because God is now incarnate. He didn't come to judge. He didn't come to punish. He came to save, to deliver, and to rescue. Jesus, in his own words, says, if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Yes, God judges sin. God will punish sin, but that is not why Jesus came right now. He came to save. That is not what the song about is. Not about judgment. It is about love. It is about grace. It is about mercy. He came to save. He came to bring peace. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He came to not or came to be with us and stay permanently. He was not going to abandon us once he came. He will not let us go through things that we cannot handle with his help. Paul, writing, says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." He's not going to abandon us, and he's going to help us. He's going to get us through whatever situations we find ourselves in. He will use everything in our lives for his glory and our good. Paul, writing in Romans, says, "We know that all things, not just the good things, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And a few verses later, Paul says this, "What shall we say then to these things? If or since, because God is for us, who can be against us?" God came and is on our side. Do not fear. Are you afraid? Would that describe you? Are you fearful? Even though you have no reason to be, even though you shouldn't be, even though God says not to be? More than 100 times in the scripture, God says, "Fear not," or "Do not be afraid." And scripture addresses fear more than 400 times beyond that. You and I have no reason to be fearful or afraid. That is part of the message of Christmas. If, or maybe I should say when, you and I are afraid, we should spend time praying, reading about, meditating, and dwelling on God, what he says not to fear, not on what we fear. When you're afraid, what do you meditate on? What do you pray about? What do you dwell on? Is it what God says and what God says not to fear? Or do you spend time meditating and thinking about your fear? The song is about not fearing because it says there are good tidings of great joy. Verse 10, "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" What are these good tidings for all people? The good tidings is the gospel, the good news. The word here that's translated good tidings in Greek is euangelion. Other places in the New Testament actually translate the gospel or good news. The good tidings that bring great joy are the gospel. The good tidings that bring great joy to all people are the gospel. The gospel that God sent his son to be born, to live perfectly, to die, to be buried, to rise again. He did that for you. That is the gospel. Not because he had to, not because he deserved it or earned it, but because he loved you. That is the good tidings of great joy. He did all of it in your place for you because he loves you. In order to pay for your sin, in order to prevent you from having to redeem you from an eternity separated from him and separated from God in hell. Doesn't this give you great joy? Doesn't this give you great joy? If the gospel does not cause you great joy, I don't know what will. If the gospel doesn't cause you great joy, I don't know what will. Has the gospel caused you great joy? Have you accepted the payment of Jesus Christ, the baby born in a manger, the baby that didn't stay in the manger, the baby who came to be born to live and to die? Have you accepted the good tidings of great joy, the good news that he paid for your sin and that it causes you great joy? Do not fear because of the good tidings of great joy, because of the good news of the gospel, and do not fear because God has goodwill towards men. Verse 14, the actual song of the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Goodwill towards men is the New King James. Among those whom he is pleased is the New American Standard, ESV. Another reasonable translation is those upon whom his will or favor rests. Literally, this is what the angels said. Men of his good pleasure. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men of his good pleasure. Peace of Christmas is available to everyone. It's to all people. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. The problem is, or the challenge is, not everyone has the peace of God. It is only given to those who are men of God's good pleasure, or those upon whom his favor rests. So let's think about who fits into the category of men of God's good pleasure, or those upon whose God's favor dwells or rests. Who fits into that category? Who qualifies as someone God is pleased with? It is those who have responded to the gospel. Those who respond to the good news. Those are the ones God is pleased with because they have accepted, not rejected, his Son and the gift that he gave at Christmas. They have peace with God because, as we saw last week, they are no longer enemies of God. Their sin has been forgiven. They are no longer guilty. They are no longer condemned. Are you someone who God has goodwill toward? Are you someone who is a man or a person of his good pleasure? You are no longer his enemy because you have responded to the gospel. You've accepted the good news and your sins have been forgiven. Or are you someone that God doesn't have pleasure with or goodwill towards? He is not pleased with you. He is your enemy. You are guilty. You are still condemned. You are still in your sins. You have ignored his gift. You have rejected the good news of the gospel. The angel's song was given to the kind of people Jesus came to save. The message was for everyone. It was about the good news. So the last question is, how should we respond? How should we respond? If this message is for everyone and we are included, how should we respond? First of all, accept the good tidings of great joy. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, the gospel, which will be to all people." Have you accepted the good tidings of great joy, the gospel, the good news? Have you asked God to forgive your sins, admitted you cannot save yourselves? Are you guilty or are you forgiven? Do you recognize that you are a guilty sinner condemned to hell, destined to spend eternity separated from God, and you have reached out and said, "God, I need your help. I need you, Jesus." I know many of us in this room, maybe all of us have. You've accepted the gift. You're not destined to hell, but you are destined to spend eternity in heaven. Eternity with God, you are not separated from him. You are his child. So is this where our response ends? Are we done with Christmas then? We've accepted the good news, good tidings of great joy. We're done. No, we are to praise. Once we have accepted that, we are to praise and glorify God. Look at verse 14 and then verse 20. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. The angels are giving glory to God, even though they have no part in salvation but announcing it. But then verse 20, the shepherds return glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Unlike Zacharias, they didn't wait. They didn't have to wait. We don't have to wait. We not only can, but we should celebrate now. Not just at Christmas now, but not just when we read or hear the angel song or the Christmas story, but often, regularly, we should celebrate every day that the good news has been given to us. We should be praising and glorifying God that he has not only offered the good news, but he has come into our lives and we have accepted it. How often do you stop and consider, "I was an enemy of God. I was an enemy of God. In fact, I still am a sinner deserving of an eternity in hell. I cannot and could not change that. But God, because of his grace, because of his mercy, did something about my problem, about my situation, something to fix the problem I could not. He came in the form of a baby. His son came. He sent Jesus, who took the punishment for my sin on the cross." We've said it over and over this Christmas. The manger points to the cross. Christmas points to Easter. Jesus came for a purpose. Jesus came to do this only because he loved me. And he loved you. He didn't just say, "I love you." He showed by what he did how much he loved us. Even though you and I were totally undeserving, totally unlovable, Jesus Christ loved us. When is the last time you celebrated? Praise and thank God for the good tidings of great joy. The good news of the gospel, what Jesus Christ did in your place on the cross. How often do you rejoice? How often do you praise God because of the peace and goodwill that comes from him? that comes from Christmas. Respond. We should respond by accepting the gospel, celebrating God's peace and goodwill, and obeying God's word. Obeying God's word. Look at verses 15 and 16, the shepherd's response to the angel's song. So it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. The shepherds didn't just say, "I accept the message, it's true." They didn't just praise God. Even though they were startled and afraid, even though they didn't know everything, they had more questions than answered, they chose to respond. They chose to obey. When you and I hear God's word, his truth, what is our first response? Belief? Faith? Is it belief and faith that leads to action, to obedience, to being more committed to God, to being more obedient to God? The shepherds didn't just obey, by the way. It says they came with haste. They obeyed quickly and immediately. When God's word says something about anger, worry, fear, do I listen? Do I obey? When it says something about how to love and respond to my spouse, to my children, my employer, my coworker, my friend, do I listen and obey? Is my response obedience on my terms, in my time? Or like the shepherds, is it immediate? Is it haste? Do I quickly respond and obey? I respond to the message and song of the angels by accepting the gospel, celebrating God's peace, being obedient, and sharing the good news. Sharing the good news. 17 through 20. Now when they had seen him, talking about the baby, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Dropping down to verse 20. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told to them. The shepherds accepted the message. They praised and glorified God and obeyed. Then they went out and told other people what they knew, what they saw, what they heard. They shared the good news of great joy. They shared the good news of the gospel. They shared about the Savior that Jesus Christ, or that God had sent in Jesus Christ. When is the last time you shared the gospel? You talked to someone about the gospel. You shared the good tidings of great joy. You shared your story. Next Sunday, we're going to hear three people's story. They're going to be sharing their story. When is the last time you shared your story, your experience, who God is and what he's done for you? Who do you know that needs to hear the good news of great joy this Christmas? I encourage you, I challenge you to pray specifically for that person, for the opportunity, and for the courage to share the good tidings of great joy with them. How often do you have biblical conversations? How often do you have spiritual conversations, biblical conversations? When is the last time you had one? When is the last time you had a biblical conversation about transformation, not just information? A conversation about transformation, not just information. When is the last time you talked to anyone, believer or unbeliever, about God's word, what you have learned, what you have heard, what you are learning, but more importantly, how you are responding, how you are applying God's word to your life? Christmas is about traditions. You could probably list off 10 without even thinking about it, traditions that you and your family have. I want to encourage you, start a new tradition this year. And I'm going to give you some help. Starting a new tradition this year, a practical way to start having biblical conversations, not just about facts, not just about information, but about transformation. Some of you will recognize this picture. It is from a TV show called Blue Bloods. And one of the quintessential things they do almost every episode is they have a family dinner. And I hope you're having them more than just, they have it on Sundays, or at least according to the script. But I hope you're having them more than that. You're sitting together and you're eating together. But I want you to start a new tradition, or I encourage you to do one this year. At the dinner table on Sunday, ask everyone, including your children, to share one thing they learned in Sunday school or church, and to share not just what they learned, but how they're going to apply it. One thing from God's word and how you can apply it. And you can ask my children, this is a tradition we have that they dislike very much, but we make them do it. One thing you learned and what you're going to do with it, how you're going to apply it. Start a new Christmas tradition talking about biblical information and biblical transformation. Four questions about the angel's song this morning we've asked and answered. Who heard it first? Normal, everyday people, outcasts, rejects, the kind of people Jesus came to save. The angel sang first to the people like that because that's who Jesus came to save, and that's who we are. Who is the message for? It was for all people, including us today. The angel's message is for you and I today, just as much as it was for the shepherds the first Christmas. The angel's message wasn't given to just a few people. It was given to everyone. The good tidings of great joy are for all people. The gospel is for everyone. That means the gospel is for you. What was the song about? Don't be afraid. Are you afraid, even though you have no reason to be? Remember, 100 times, more than 100 times, God says, fear not, do not be afraid, and addresses fear more than that. If or when you are afraid, spend time praying, reading about, meditating, and thinking on, dwelling on God and what He says, not what you fear. The good news that brings great joy to all is the gospel. God sent His Son to live a perfect life, to die, to be buried, to rise again because of your sin. He did it all for you because He loves you. If the gospel doesn't change or cause you great joy, I don't know what will. Do you fit into the category of someone who God is pleased with? Someone who is no longer His enemy because you have accepted the good tidings of great joy, the gospel? Or are you someone that God is not pleased with because you have rejected the good news of the gospel? You are still in your sins. You are still God's enemy. How are you going to respond to the gospel? Accept the good tidings of great joy this Christmas season if you have not. Have you accepted it? Have you rejected it? Praise, glorify God. When is the last time you celebrated and praised and thanked God for the good tidings of great joy, the gospel, the good news? Respond by obeying. When I hear God's word, His truth, what is my first response? Belief and faith that leads to action? Obedience? Do I obey in my terms, on my terms, in my time? Or like the shepherds, am I in haste? Am I doing it quickly? Share the good news. Share the gospel. Who do you know that needs the message of the gospel this year? Who do you know that needs to hear the good news of great joy at Christmas? Share the good news. How often do you have biblical conversations? How often and when is the last time you had a conversation about transformation, not just information? Start a new tradition. Start today with a new tradition. At the dinner table, ask people, what did you hear, what did you learn, and how are you going to apply it? Start a new tradition talking about applying, not just information. Transformation, not just information. Like the shepherds, are you going to respond to the angel's song this morning? What response has God reminded of you that you need to take? What application are you going to take away this morning? How is your Christmas this year going to be different because of the angel's song and the shepherd's response? How are you going to be a doer, not just a hearer, of the angel's song and God's word this morning? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the shepherds. We thank You that You came and announced the birth of Your Son to them first. The least important, the least valuable, the outcast. Much like You have chosen us, Lord. Or if there's someone here that's still wrestling with where they fit into Your story, where they fit into Christmas, Lord, help them to respond to the good tidings of great joy. Help them to understand what the good tidings of great joy are all about. If they have questions, let them ask someone they know who knows the answer. Do not let them be afraid, but courageous in getting the answers and responding. For those of us, Lord, that know, that have responded, that know who You are, why You came, and You are our Lord and Savior, help us to respond. Help us to be praising and glorifying You. Help us to be seeking out and sharing the good news of great joy when you give us opportunity. Help us to be obedient, not on our terms, but on your terms, quickly. And Lord, let us be talking about having those biblical conversations, sharing, this is what I heard, this is what I learned, and here's what I'm doing with it with the Lord's help. This is how I'm trying to grow and become more obedient. Lord, let us talk about information as well, but more importantly, transformation, how you have done great things for us. The great good tidings of great joy have impacted us more than just a moment of salvation, but have impacted us as we've grown and become more and more obedient to you. We thank you for this. We ask that you would be pleased with what's been said and done, but our response as individuals and as a church as well. In your Son's name I pray, amen. The first and most important offering the Lord wants from you is you, responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then how you live, how you take his word seriously, how you apply it to your life. That it's not just a statement that I believe it, but I believe it and I do it. If you have questions, if you have wondering about anything, if you are struggling in an area of applying God's life, we'd love to talk to you. We'd love to spend time with you, helping you to understand what God's word says and how it applies to your life. One small group, the Marshalls, is meeting this afternoon, and then 6 o'clock, the kids program. Please come out, be an encouragement, and be blessed by the time they've spent to teach and communicate the truth of what we just talked about this morning in a unique and different way. Have a great afternoon.